Last Sunday morning, we began talking about this series about pursuing after God, and the intention is to have it on Sunday nights, and we will have the majority of the rest of the messages on Sunday nights, but since the teen service is tonight, we're going to continue in the next installment of that. Last week, we talked about God's heart for you and showed you what God's intention for you, which is salvation, and also talked about sanctification and talked about his intention for us is for us to possess the Word of God in our hands. And last Sunday night, we talked about how to pursue after God. And we talked about pursuing after God with our whole heart. We went to that great passage of Scripture, and we looked at the Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter number 3, how he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we talked about pursuing after God as wanting to have a greater relationship with Him, to know Him better, and have a better relationship and understanding Him. And the only way you can do that is by truly seeking after Him and searching for Him. And when you pursue after some things, sometimes you have to leave some things behind. And last Sunday night, that's what we talked about. We talked about seeking after God with our whole heart. And I know when we left, a number of people told me they enjoyed the message. And I know some even kind of made that thought and says, I'm going to be thinking about what God would lay upon my heart to get to know Him better and understand Him better. And this morning, the title of this morning's message is, what stops us from pursuing after God? What stops us from pursuing after God? Because I know even though last Sunday night, God may have spoken to a lot of people's hearts, and God might have worked on your heart last Sunday morning and saying, you know what? I read those Psalms, I read David's, and I read how these guys seem like they had a better relationship with God than I do. And, you know, when David talks about his soul thirsting for God and hungering after God and how his soul faints for God, and he says, I don't have those desires, those aren't my interests. And last week we talked about the reason for that is because we've taken so much of the world in that we replaced it, we call it the junk food of the world, with that yearning. If you're a Christian today, and you're here, and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you should have a desire to want to know God better. The Bible talks about it, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You should have a desire to get into the Word of God and learn about God and understand God. When you understand what God did for you, when Jesus Christ came to this cross to die for your sins, and He paid your penalty for you, that gives you a love and admiration for God. I don't know about you, if you remember the first day after you were saved, there was a desire there. You wanted to tell everybody, but you also wanted to know more about God. But the truth is, there is something that stops us from knowing about God and stops us from pursuing God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning a little bit, about how to pursue after God. And it's in Romans chapter number 7. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to get this and understand that some of the words are a little bit confusing. So we're going to take it slow. We're going to make sure we understand. Not that I think that you guys can't handle it or understand it. I just want to be able to present it in a way that's understanding. So you bear with me a little bit. But before we get that, I want you to think about this illustration. Now, I want to prepare you and I want to equip you to pursue after God. And sometimes have you ever tried to set out to help someone or try to do something, but you really just don't know what you're doing? You just look around and say, I don't know which way to go at it. Have you ever tried to tackle some gnawing problem, even in your own life, but didn't have a clue to get started? And I mean, that's just the truth. It's sort of like if Mr. Bateman over there is a police officer, and they said, okay, Inspector Bateman, we want you to go pursue after a vehicle. And that's all the information they gave him. Sounds like our government, but no, he'd get on his walkie-talkie or his cell phone or whatever it is and say, okay, what type of vehicle? And they said, okay, it's a truck. Now, that doesn't really help us that much either, does it? It's a white one. That, now you're getting there. Is it old? Is it new? There's information you need to know, and that's when we're talking about this pursuing for God. It starts off, like we talked about last Sunday night, making a commitment, saying, I want to know God better, and I'm willing to set aside whatever it is I need to get a better relationship with God. And hopefully many of you made that commitment last Sunday night that you're going to do whatever it takes to get to know God better. But there's some things you need to learn. And this morning, I think the important things that we need to learn and need to understand is what stops us from pursuing after God. Have you ever tried to start off doing what's right? I'm going to read my Bible every day. I mean, probably each of us made that commitment. Hopefully we've made that commitment. And probably all of us at one point in time maybe have failed at that commitment. Well, what stops us? And you get an evangelist in here, you get somebody out there and says, well, who wants to know God better? You raise your hand. You know, everybody raises their hand. Who wants to be a better Christian? No, yep, that's me. You know, if you have any desire, if you're a Christian, you have any desire to do what's right, you're going to say yes to those questions. And here's the thing is, what stops us from doing those things that we know we should be doing? And that's what it tells us in Romans chapter number 7. Let's look here in verse number 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, the way we're going to do the message this morning is we're going to explain these verses, and then we're going to get into the main points of the message. But I think it's important we understand this passage of Scripture as it talks about our flesh, our old man, our nature, and how that is a constant struggle and a constant battle, and that is what stops us from pursuing after God. Let's look here in Romans chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 14 through 25 straight through, and then we're going to go back and explain each verse. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." As I told you, some of these words, they're saying I a lot and do a lot. So we're just going to bear with me here. We're going to get it. "If then I do not which I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, if you've never heard that passage of Scripture or never heard it read out loud or ever tried reading it out loud and making sense, there's a lot of I do's and that's and I don'ts. And this, we're going to try to explain this a little bit this morning. But before we do that, why don't we go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking and seeking for your help this morning. Lord, I don't know the spiritual situation that people are living under. Lord, I know probably in this room there's some people that are not saved and not on their way to heaven, Lord, and that's their greatest need. And Lord, I pray today that they understand that they're under sin and, Lord, that they have no hope without you. But Lord, I know that if there are Christians here today in this room, I know that they are dealing with the flesh. Lord, they're either fighting or they're giving in to the flesh. Help us understand that the flesh is the thing that stops us from pursuing after God. And Lord, speak to our hearts about wanting to learn about you and wanting to pursue after you, Lord, with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to get back here and we're going to look at these verses, and then we're going to head right into the main text of the message and the main points. But let's look here in verse number 14. It says, "For we know." Now, Apostle Paul here is using this word "we know" as a general agreement amongst believers. This is a law. This is something that they all understand. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Now, the law is spiritual in the sense that it's given from the Holy Spirit. We don't got a lot of time to talk about the law versus spiritual and the grace living and things like that. We're not going to get into that. But the law was what was written in the Old Testament, and that's what shows us that we're sinners. You go back a few verses, and it says that the law is not bad. The law is not evil. It's how we know that we're sinners. You keep on going when it says here in verse number 14, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." One of the things when you look at this passage of Scripture, you got to understand, this is written by the Apostle Paul. This is not written from somebody who did not know God, who did not understand God. This was Paul, what many people would consider the greatest Christian to ever live. I don't know how you get that title. I don't know who calls him that. But by his life, he was a dedicated Christian. He was willing to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this man, when he's saying he's carnal, he's not referring to the fact he's unsaved. This means in his flesh. Does not mean his meat and bones, but he's talking about how his body himself is sold under sin. The carnality refers to his old mind, his old spirit, and his nature, which occupies and uses the flesh, so that actually the flesh itself is contaminated with sin. Say, Pastor, you just said a mouthful. I know I did. So that's what. Let's go back and make sure we get this. The body, our body, is neutral. Your body can be used for good, or your body can be used for evil. Everybody get that? I mean, that's your body. Your body is. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. And at that point in part, there's two parts of you. There is the spiritual side, and there's a fleshly side. There's a carnal side. The flesh is inert. It has no capability or possibilities towards God. It's dominated by your sinful nature, and it is the thing that causes you to do wrong. This fleshly side of you, the Bible calls it the flesh, the Bible calls it the old man, the Bible calls it your sinful nature, that this fleshly side is what wars against you and your spiritual side. And it's something that battles, and there's a continual battle going on inside you for doing right versus doing wrong. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? We see it in this passage of Scripture. We're getting here. In verse number 15, it says, "For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do." Here you see the two conflicts of the two natures. It's the old nature versus the new nature. There are definitely two different eyes in this passage of Scripture. The first eye is the old, as it asserts itself. And he is saying here, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." Now, this is an experience that in your Christian life, that all Christians struggle with at one point in time. You're trying to live for God. Say, hey, I want to learn to pray and read my Bible every day because I think that's found in the Word of God. And it's found in the Bible. We should do it. And you go to start praying. You go to start reading your Bible. And there's something inside you that's fighting. Well, I don't want to do it. There's part of you that does, and there's part of you that doesn't. That's the old nature versus the new nature. And they're saying, if you look at the end of that verse in number 15, he says, "But what I hate, that do I." You know what that means? The things that you wish you wouldn't do, that's what you end up doing. And why is that? It's because of your fleshly side. And we need to understand that. What stops us from pursuing after God? What stops us from living for God? What stops us from being the Christian that we all have a desire to be? Because inside of us, there is something inside of us that desires to do what's right. But the old fleshly nature is what weighs us down. Let's keep on going. Verse number 16. It says, "If then I do not that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." So here, let's "If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good." We're saying, if your body and you listen to your flesh tells you, and you do the things you wish you wouldn't have. I don't know, maybe you get mad and you yell at somebody. You don't show patience. You don't show kindness like the Bible. You don't forgive others. You're like, man, I wish I could just stop doing that. Anybody like that? Is it just me? Am I just the one that deals with things and says, you know, there's a fleshly side in all of us, and we can say, man, I wish I would stop being angry, or I wish I could stop telling that lie, or I wish I could stop having that thought, or I wish, you know, the Bible's saying here, then we understand that the law is good. We understand that the Bible has been written for us to show us and teach us what is good and what is bad, because if we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know whether or not we're sinning. That's why we have the Bible. That's why God wants us to possess his word, so we can understand it. Let's keep on going here. Verse number 17. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." In other words, it is no longer I, talking about the new nature, who is working this out. But it's the sin that's living in me. Paul still had this old nature. Now, this is not this Apostle Paul who is a Christian and then goes and backslides. This is a man who is living for God. This is a man who has put himself out there, traveling around the world, trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, starting up churches and facing persecution, living for God. And he is saying, hey, I still deal with this. So don't ever convince yourself that you don't deal with this, because if you do, you've fallen into a trap and a lie of the devil. Verse 17 says, now then is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. When you go to do and live for God, and then something pulls you back and draws you back, and you get angry and you get frustrated and you do things that you know you shouldn't do, don't make up excuses. It's a sin, the fleshly nature that draws inside you. If you've never heard this before, this can revolutionize your life. This can help you understand that there is something in me that's warring, and there's something I need to work on and something I need to take care of. It's the flesh, the old nature that's wearing me down, and I need to live for God. Let's look here in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is the Apostle Paul saying. Paul had learned two things about this struggle, and there's something that many believers need to learn. In me, that old nature we've been talking about, dwells no good things. Have you learned that? And many Christians today feel that they can do a little bit. They found some good in themselves. But the Bible is telling us that anything we do in the flesh cannot please God. Many believers never find this out. They stay busy. They stay busy as termites in the church. And they have the same effect that termites have the church. They tear it apart because they are doing things in the flesh. They need to understand that in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. What does that mean? That means I want to do what's right. I want to live for God. I want to bring people to Christ. I want to tithe. I want to teach Sunday schools. I want to serve. I want to do these things. He says, the will is present. The desire there. If you're a Christian and you're a believer, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. There's something inside of you that wants to do what's right. And it says here, for will is the present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He's saying, I just can't find it. He says, I want to do it, but I just don't know how to do it. That's why we need God's help. Paul found something else out that was very important for us to learn. Will is present with me. He found there is no good in the old nature. There is no power in the new nature. The new nature wants to serve God, but the carnal man is enmity against God. It is the subject of, again, it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it indeed be. But the new nature has no power in itself. I remember when God called me to preach, and when we were coming here, and I was excited. Man, I was going to try to set the world on fire. I wanted to go do this, and I wanted to do that for God. I wanted to knock, hundreds and hundreds of doors. And, there was a flesh inside of me that was fighting against that every minute of the day. The will is there. If you're a believer here today and you can recognize this, I want to do what's right. I want to live for God. I want to read my Bible. I want to memorize scripture. I want to tell other people about God. But there is something inside of us that fights. I want to love my wife the way she deserves to be loved. I want to respect and submit to my husband the way he wants to, the Bible talks about. I want to do all those things. But there's something that stops us. Keep on going in verse number 19. Now, you could read this through really fast and not get what it's saying. These are one of these verses that has all those I do's. For the good that I would, I do not. The things that I really want to do, the things that it talks about being present with me, the desires I have to serve, the desires I want to live for God, the desires to know God, that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. The Bible saying is here, the things I really want to do, that's what I don't do. The things I always kick myself about doing, when I get angry and I get mad and I get frustrated, and those things I don't do for God, that's what I do. Are you there? I mean, I'm there. I mean, I know that I've experienced this in my Christian life. Hopefully, you have too. Have you experienced this? This is something that's normal. Verse number 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's not the new nature doing. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, guess what? it is not God's spiritual side that's causing you to sin. It is your fleshly nature. And this is a good thing. You understand this. It's the sin that lives in you. It's not your spiritual side. You can have victory. You can live for God. The fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things, they're inside you. You are capable of those things. When you do not do those things, what you're doing is you're living for the flesh, and the flesh is over here. It is what stops us from pursuing after God. It is what stops us from living for Him. It's whether or not I'm living for the flesh or I'm living for the Spirit. And let's keep on going here. Verse 21, it says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You're not abnormal. You're not weird. You're not different. When you go to do good, evil is present. Evil is going to try to stop you. Your flesh and your old nature is going to fight you every step of the way. You think about when you make a commitment for God, you count something but loss, or you say, okay, I'm going to start treating somebody nice. And you know what happens? It doesn't work out. And lots of people say, the devil came after me. The devil got me. It's not just the devil. It's more your flesh that's used to doing really bad, that's used to doing really wrong, and it really longs for it. It really needs it. It really has to happen. All the things start going wrong. All the things start going bad. You're not going to change 10, 15, 20, 30 years of doing wrong overnight just because you make one decision that you're going to live for God. It's work. And that's what he says, I find in a law. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's counted everything but loss. He's living for God. I find in a law. Paul's saying in his body, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He's like, it's still there. It's not going away. Look in verse number 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man is talking about the new nature. He's talking about how he treasures the law to understand what's right and what's wrong. Verse 23, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. What the Bible is saying here is there's a war going on. He says, when I want to do what's right, I see something else that is taking me and is dragging me back and I'm fighting against me and is bringing me back into a spot that I do not want to be at. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. Verse 24, and this causes Paul to get to the point, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, this is not an unsaved man who's crying, wretched man I am. This is the great Apostle Paul, an exhaustion of the struggle that he had as a believer, saying, oh, wretched man that I am. What he's saying is, boy, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. I am so wicked in heart, so wicked in mind. I wish I did not have to struggle with this sin. I wish I could have victory with it, but it's always present and ever present with me. If you can learn this, Christian, this can change your life. You can say, you know what? There is something spiritually wrong with me. I have a flesh problem. I have a flesh need, and I need to fight against it. That can change you. Let's keep on going. It says, in that next phrase, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's like, who in the world can help me? And the answer is in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isn't that great? We do not have to give in to our sin. We do not have to give in to our fleshly nature. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the answer to Paul's SOS. God has provided deliverance. And in chapter number 8, he introduces this. He talks about this. Chapter number 6 talks about how we are freed from sin, that we ourselves, we have to obey our fleshly nature. There's a spiritual side that we can live for God. Now that explains to you this passage of Scripture. Now, the rest of the message, and we'll go quickly with it. First thing I want you to see here is that we need to recognizing the problem. What stops us from pursuing after God is we need to recognize the problem. Our greatest problems are never around us. They are in us. Our greatest problems are never around us, but they are in us. You say, where do you get that from? Well, it's talking about our fleshly side. It's talking about over here. If we want to do what's right, we want to do wrong, but the fleshly side keeps on dragging us back and keeps on dragging. That is us. You can't blame it on somebody else. It is us that's inside of us that causes us to sin, and it's the flesh, it's the old nature, and we have to do something about it. Listen to what Jesus says. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from, everybody else? No. Comes from within and defile the man. It is something inside of us that has this desire to do what's wrong, and we need to recognize that problem. Now, I had all intentions to bringing you a tea bag and a coffee cup up here. And here's the thought. It's a coffee cup, and it's, I know I've used this illustration in Sunday school class before, but I love the illustration because I think it's great. You get a coffee cup, you get water. You know what? No matter what the coffee cup is and no matter what the water is, that's not going to flavor the water. What's going to flavor the water is what's inside the tea bag. And when you take that water, you take that coffee cup, and you put that tea bag in there, you know what happens? What's inside the tea bag comes out. It's not the coffee cup. It's not the water that determines the taste. It's what's inside the tea bag. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It's what's inside you that comes out. It's what's inside you that comes out. Think about that. Think about the Apostle Paul and Silas. They've been beaten for just helping a girl. And they've been thrown in jail, put in stocks and bonds. And at midnight, what are they doing? They're singing and praising the Lord in the book of Acts. You know, it wasn't the fact that it was their circumstances that caused them to sing. It was inside of them that caused them to sing. And Christian, if you don't like what you are inside, you don't like how the fact that you react the wrong way, or you got hatred, or you have pressures and anger, and you treat people the wrong way, don't be blaming the circumstances that are around you. Yes, they can help your flesh and give you reason for the flesh to do things, but it's what's inside of you. It is what's inside of you that what comes out. What stops us from pursuing after God? First thing we need to do is recognize the problem. Merely just saying that it's somebody else's fault, not going to happen. Similarly, we cannot shift the blame on our bitterness, our anger, our despair, our deception, our cruelty on anybody else but ourselves and our flesh. We have a choice whether or not we want to sin. So I hope you understand this. This is the problem. This is our problem. This is why we do not pursue after God. It's because we have a flesh. We recognize the problem. Second thing I want you to understand is we need to realize how bad the problem is. You need to realize how tough this is. So many Christians don't live their lives thinking they can have victory. So many Christians don't set up provisions and guidelines and say, okay, I know I have a flesh, and because of my flesh, I know that I have wickedness, and because of the wickedness that I can have, I need to make sure that I'm not on the internet by myself when no one else is watching, or I'm not putting myself around, if I have an alcohol problem, I'm not going to a bar, I'm not sitting with someone who's drinking, or if I'm a teenage boy and I have a problem with looking at magazines, I'm not going to the bookstore. I'm setting up parameters and guidelines to help keep my flesh in check. I'm making sure that, you know, that there is nothing that's going to feed my flesh at all, because I realize how bad the problem is. You go to the doctor and you're told, hey, you have cancer. And that's all they tell you. They don't tell you what type of cancer it is. They don't tell you if you're going to die tomorrow. They don't tell you. You know what? Realizing you have a problem is the first step. But realizing how serious it is something that's important you get. Now, think about this. You know, there's different forms of cancers. There's life-threatening forms of cancers. There's some little bits of skin cancers that are serious, but they can take off, and they can treat you. And there are things that they can treat you with radiation. There's things that they can treat you with other ways. Realizing you have a problem is the first step, but consider how serious it is. Unfortunately, we do not often understand the treachery that lies in our own heart. Oftentimes, we do not understand the treachery that lies in our own heart. We sometimes think that we're pretty good people who mess up once in a while, but the Bible paints this picture. We are all bad people who only do right by the grace of God. You know, we don't like to hear that. We like to think there's something good in us. But you listen to this passage of Scripture. You listen to what the Bible says. It paints us as bad people that deal with the flesh, and we can only do right by God's help. In me, there is, that's what he was saying, he says, in himself, it was no good thing. He said, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's what the Bible is telling it. It's the picture it's painting. That's when he comes in verse 21. He says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Here's the problem is that we don't realize that every time we go to do good, there's something fighting against you. That's how bad the problem is. That's how tough it is. You're never going to get over it. You're never going to be able to finally finish it off until you go to heaven. That's your problem that you have. That's what we have, misdiagnoses all over the place. You know, lots of times, I got a teenage boy, he's 13, I got a 11-year-old, I think he's 11, right? 11 years old, and you know what? Parents today misdiagnose the problem. They like to blame peer pressure. They like to blame maybe hormones or insecurities and say, you know what, that's my kid's problem. You know what, they might be attributing to the flesh that it's causing your child to do wrong, but the reason why your child is doing bad and the reason why your child is doing wrong is because he has a fleshly nature. The same battles and the same struggles you have in your own life and the same problems you have, your child has too, and they need parameters set up. You know, some people say, well, I trust my kids. I'm going to let them do this. I'm going to let them do that. Now, I understand giving your children responsibility, and this is not what you're going to hear on these TV shows. This is what you're going to hear in the Bible. You have a fleshly nature. Your heart is deceitful. It's wicked, and you need to learn to protect and fight against it. You need to learn to protect your children and fight for your children and not just let them do whatever they want, but instead say, son, daughter, I know what it's like to have a fleshly nature. I know what it's like to always want to have a desire to do what's wrong. So because of that, I'm going to not let you watch that. Because of that, I'm not going to let you have that friend. Because of that, I'm not going to let you go to that place. Because of that, I'm not going to let you wear that. I am going to try to protect and fight and guide because I know we all have a fleshly nature and we all have a problem. Too many of us think it's not that big of a deal. Too many of us think there is not that big of a problem. And we misdiagnose our own heart. We think in our hearts and our lives, we view our human hearts and we think that we're okay. But our own nature, sometimes called our flesh, this is our problem. Remember, our problems are not around us. Our problems is in us. Now, this is what makes it bad. We're going to go quickly here. This is what makes it bad. Your flesh tells you you can live without God. Your flesh wants to live independently of God. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, the devil did not tempt Adam and Eve to steal, to lie, to kill, to commit adultery. He tempted them to live independently from God. He didn't say, hey, look, go. Of course, I don't know how he could have done adultery. But he didn't tell him to go kill Eve. He didn't tell him to go kill Adam. You know what he did? He says, look, he got him to question God and say, no, did God really say that? You know what? You'd be okay without God. Bible's filled with verses. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So I gave them up to their own hearts and lust, and they walked after their own counsels. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Cease from thine own wisdom. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, the Bible says it over and over, and that's what your flesh says. You do not need God. And what your spiritual side says, you can't do anything without him. And that's what we got to learn. We got to recognize our problem, but we got to see this is a really, really bad problem. This is not just one little thing. This is a huge thing that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. Get it right now, because if not, you're going to deal with so much more later. The flesh defies God. The flesh defiles God. The flesh deceives man, and the flesh destroys man. Last but not least, not only do you need to recognize the problem and realize how bad it is, you need to rely on the power provided. Need to rely on the power provided. And we see that in verse number 25. Apostle Paul got to the spot and he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And we find it in verse 25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's like, okay, here it is. With God's help, I can serve God. Chapter 6 in Romans chapter 6. Actually, take your Bible back and look at Romans 6. Look at verse number 6. Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know what it's saying? You do not have to sin. The body has been destroyed. The flesh has been over. You have power over. He says, Pastor, you just been saying how bad it is. It is bad, but the power that's available to you, you don't have to serve it. Praise the Lord, you don't have to sin. You don't have to do those things that you feel like over and over. I don't have a choice. You say, I don't feel like that, Pastor. I don't have any victory in my life. Sin has such a strong pull. When you understand that you can have victory is where it starts. When you look at yourself and say, in my flesh, you look back here in verse 25, with the flesh, I'm serving sin. But with the Spirit, I'm serving God. And we realize here that there's something we got to do. We got to serve God. We got to serve the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's help. And when you say that I can't do it on my own and I'm completely dependent upon God, that is when you take the first step to pursuing after God. You're going to do it with your whole heart. I need the Holy Spirit's help with the flesh.
I can't fight it myself. I need the Holy Spirit's help. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All that hard and all that wicked things that you deal with, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that good? You can do that. For the flesh, in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth after against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. What it's saying here is that you're not going to do the things that you want to do when you keep on messing with the flesh. You got to make a decision. I'm going to live for God, or you're going to keep on living for the flesh. If you really, truly want to pursue after God, you're going to have to learn what stops it. What stops pursuing after God is your flesh. We have a great, great power available to us. We have a couple of truck drivers in our church. Mr. Broyles is one of our truck drivers in our church. And, you know, Mr. Broyles sometimes has to go carry. How many tons do you take sometimes in your truck? Up to 20 tons. If, you know, Mr. Pearl's own power and only own strength, how far could he take 20 tons? Nowhere. He couldn't even push it, probably. Now, 20 pounds, he could probably take it a couple miles. 20 tons, he couldn't do it on his own. But you know, when Mr. Pearl jumps in that big truck and he does what he needs to do to start the truck up, you know, he can take that far and go a long way because he has a power that's available to him, the power of that big diesel motor, the power that's going to take it and be able to take miles and miles away. In your own flesh, in your own strength, you cannot live for God. But you got a Holy Spirit of God that's available to you, that if you get and let him get in the driver's seat, you let him sit down, let him take control, he can take you farther than you ever thought you could as a Christian. I want you to think about this morning. You know, I know that probably some of you went home thinking last week, I do want to know God better. I want to know him better. I want to learn more about him. Maybe you got up on Sunday night and was starting to read about it and says, this is it. I'm living for God finally. But by Wednesday time came around, you were back to not even reading your Bible. I want to show you there is something that stops you. That's your flesh. There is a fleshly side of you that wars against the spiritual side, and you need the Spirit of God's help. He might say, well, I can have a little bit of sin in my life. It's not going to hurt me. It is. It takes away from the spiritual side, and it feeds the fleshly side, to where the fleshly side begins to flex its muscles, and you have no spiritual heart or spiritual life at all. Think about this. I'll end with this illustration. Think about there's two dogs. Exact same dog. They're getting ready to go in a fight. You take them away for about 2 months. You take the one, you feed it the best things, you train it, you do everything you can to make it strong, make it healthy and ready for the fight. You take the other dog, you neglect it. You don't feed it at all. You drink it just enough to keep it alive. You know, the dog that's stronger, the dog that has been trained and taken care of, is going to crush the other dog. It's not going to be in the competition. In our spiritual lives, whatever side we are feeding is the side that's going to have the power and the strength. If we go out and we live for the world and live wickedly, we're feeding our fleshly side. We're feeding it over and over. It's going to be stronger. It's going to have more power, and you're not going to live for God. The flesh is going to end up winning. But if you take the spiritual side and you read your Bible, you pray, you count things but loss, you come preaching, you do what God tells you to and speaks to your heart about, that's going to cause your spiritual side to come up, and you're going to be big, you're going to be strong spiritually, and you're going to be able to live for God. Not because of you or not because of anything in you, but because of the fact that you've given yourself over to the Holy Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. You can live for him. There is something that stops us from pursuing after God, and that is our flesh. Now, I want to just give you one last thing here in verse 25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Apostle Paul was saying here was he could not control his own flesh. He needed God's help, and God was willing to help him. If you hear this morning, the message has been intended on purpose, mostly to the Christians and believers. But if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, there is no hope. You are under, the Bible says, not me, the bondage of sin. The Bible even refers to an unbeliever as someone that is a child of the devil. And the idea that that's who he has to serve. He has no other choice. There is no hope there. And the Bible teaches us that. But there is hope through Jesus Christ. God saw our need as sinners, and we're all sinners. We've all done wrong, and we were headed straight to a horrible place called hell, and God saw that, and he sent his son down the cross to die and pay our penalty for our sins, to take us and save us and redeem us from our sins so we could go to heaven, so we could have eternal home. And that's what we're talking about here today, is Christians have a choice of whether they're going to live for the flesh or live for God. But if you do not know God personally, you're living for the flesh. That's all you know. But this morning, who can deliver that wretched man? God can. By putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can leave this place knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I don't know your hearts. Only God does. But if you've never, ever taken the time to see yourself as a sinner, repent of those sins and cry out to God and say, Lord, I know I cannot save myself. I am putting my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross when he died, was buried, and rose again, and I'm putting my faith and trust in him, asking him to be my Savior. You can do that here this morning. Just a second, we're going to have an invitation. Music will play. The song leader will sing. Come forward and come see me, and I would be more than glad to have somebody come and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But if you're here and you're this morning and you are saved, you need help with your flesh. The Holy Spirit of God is the only one that can help you. Are you really committed to him? The flesh, maybe it's a struggle and it's a battle you will always have. Realize you need God's help. Realize you can't do anything in your own flesh, and start living for him. Be willing to pursue after God by understanding what stops us. That's our flesh. You deal with that. We all do. I deal with it. Everyone sitting next to you deals with the flesh. It's a battle. Are you up for the fight? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.